May 3rd, 2007. Just got two bills up, and we're on the floor at 8:30, so we'll try to get into these quickly. We'll just take them in the order in which they're on our agenda. I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 79. Council Kalmanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 79 establishes that information about a voter's disability that is entered into official voter registration records is exempt from disclosure under Oregon's public record laws.
Okay, and we have Alon Hessen from the Secretary of State's office.
Thank you, Chair McPherson, members of the committee. My name is Elon Hassan with the Oregon Secretary of State's office. The bill is pretty straightforward. This is sort of a cleanup bill for our office. We'd like the ability to protect people who are registering with our office who have a disability from having that disability be public record. It's as straightforward as that. People need to, if they need special assistance in voting, they'll disclose a disability to our office. And that information is useful, obviously, for the clerks who are processing the ballots. And this would just protect those individuals' identity. I urge a yes vote to pass.
Any questions? Representative Cameron.
Can I ask what triggered this?
This has, with the new centralized voter registration system, the clerks have found the value in keeping people's disability on file for more than 1 year so that they know when people are coming back, they don't have to constantly resubmit their information. So we have it now as a centralized system.
What are the nature of the disabilities that are recorded in the voter registration files? But is it sight impaired, maybe, or hearing impaired, or both?
Chair McPherson, members of the committee, I'm actually not privy to what people are registering with. I would imagine it would be sight impaired, perhaps some physical disabilities relating to filling out the ballot. I can get back to the committee on that if you'd like a better answer.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Mr. Krieger.
Just for my own knowledge, we have a lot of people that have mental disabilities, some of them very, very severe. Are they allowed to register, and if so, would they be under this?
Representative Jim Pearson, Representative Krieger, I'm not clear on the answer to that question. I'd have to get back to you. I'm not sure what disabilities would qualify for assistance. I would imagine that the only reason people would disclose a disability with our office is to get assistance on a ballot. So to the extent a mental disability does that, I'm not really sure. I'd have to get back to you on that.
And I was wondering if it would be literacy. If somebody was hiding that from the public, but they really, when they wanted to vote, they wanted to be able to have that read to them.
Thank you, Representative McPherson, Chair McPherson, Representative Barker. Without a more in-depth look, I'm assuming disability would be some kind of physical disability. I'm going to assume that it's related to other disability laws having some kind of impairment. Literacy, I would imagine, wouldn't fall into that unless it was connected to some other either medically diagnosed or some other kind of physical ailment. But I'd be happy to get a better definition for the committee if that'd be helpful.
Representative Reed.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Elon, what sort of assistance do the county clerk's offices offer?
Thank you, Chair McPherson, Representative Reed. I know in the last election, one of the services we had implemented in part with HAVA funding was to have people who were visually disabled be able to go into the county clerk's office and use a phone to vote on their ballot. And it was actually the first time some people were ever actually able to cast a totally independent vote through a system of hitting the right button, confirming your choices, and that was a successful system.
Thanks.
Any further questions? If not, then I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 79 and open a work session on Senate Bill 79. To be pretty straightforward, committee.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 79 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Comp moves Senate Bill 79 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bonamici.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Excused.
Representative Call?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barker?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnant?
Excused.
Chair McPherson?
Aye. Senate Bill 79 moves to the floor of the due pass recommendation. And are people comfortable with this one being on the consent calendar?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. I was hearing no objections, so ordered. Close the work session on Senate Bill 79 and open the public hearing on Senate Bill 112.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Oregon Rules Civil Procedure 73 allows parties in a civil action to serve subpoenas on foreign or domestic corporations by personally serving the registered agent, officer, director, or general partner, or managing agents, and it provides a number of alternative methods for service, including mailing the subpoena to the corporation's principal place of business. But that is a civil rule of procedure. What SB 112 would do is allow the state or defendant in a criminal case to serve a subpoena on a foreign or domestic corporation or limited partnership for documents, records, or other tangible items in the manner described in the Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure for serving a summons on a corporation's or limited partnership. So essentially what this would do is allow the state or the defendant in a criminal case to take advantage of the civil rules for serving subpoenas on corporations.
Okay. We have Michael Slauson from the Department of Justice.
Chair McPherson, members of the committee, my name is Michael Slauson. I'm with the Department of Justice in the Organized Crime Section. I wanted to testify today in support of Senate Bill 112. Committee counsel did a pretty good job describing what it does. Under current criminal procedure, all subpoenas must be personally served. And that works in almost every instance, except for when you're dealing with corporations or businesses that are located out of state and you're trying to get some of their documents. So what this bill would do is sort of codify what's already a cooperative agreement with, in every circumstance I can think of, where businesses have cooperated and waived the personal service requirement, allowed us to either mail or fax them a copy of the subpoena. What it does, how it codifies that, is to bring in what is already provided in civil procedure for service of a summons on a corporation or limited partnership. The upshot of what happens with that is that if you have a personal or a registered agent of the corporation in the county where the criminal action is pending, you still have to personally serve that registered agent. But if the registered agent's out of the county or out of state, then you can go ahead and mail it. Doesn't change any other substantive requirements for issuing a subpoena.
Any questions? Mr. Slauson, I have this a bit. Impression, going searching deeply into my memory bank, that there are some criminal statutes that apply to corporations as opposed to individuals, although nearly all of our criminal statutes are applicable to individuals. Does this apply regardless of whether the corporation is the subject of the prosecution? Like, it would apply if it's a criminal case, but it's targeting an individual, say, who works for the corporation. And it would not now be possible to use this method of serving a subpoena, and this will allow it?
Chair McPherson, members of the committee, under current Oregon law, even if the person is a member of the corporation and you wanted to have certain documents of the corporation, unless the corporation's in state, you have to follow a pretty cumbersome process for getting the records in Oregon law. It doesn't, if I'm trying to answer your question.
And maybe I should clarify, because I'm wondering if I didn't probably ask it very well, but so it would apply regardless of whether the corporation is the defendant or target of the investigation as opposed to an individual who's connected to the corporation. So if I'm prosecuting or investigating a criminal behavior by someone and I need corporate documents, but because it's a criminal investigation, I can't use the civil procedure method of gaining documents?
Chair McPherson, members of the committee, that's correct. And so if you actually had the corporation was under investigation, probably the more prudent thing to do would to get a search warrant, so that way the corporation's not getting its own records when they're under investigation.
Okay. Good. Okay. Any questions? Then I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 112 and open a work session on Senate Bill 112.
Mr. Chair, move Senate Bill 112 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Barker moves Senate Bill 112 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bonamici.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Excused.
Representative Cox.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Vice Chair Barker.
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnant.
Excused.
Chair McPherson.
Aye. Senate Bill 112 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and I would think this one, too, could be a consent calendar, or that people feel uncomfortable with that?
I know. Yeah.
Okay. Then hearing no objection, so ordered. I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 112, and in, I think, record time, committee, we have completed our agenda. Thank you for coming in. We are adjourned until tomorrow morning.